Upheaval. Breaking point. Chapter 17. Necessity. Among the cities of the Barrier Lands, Bastion City has always had a reputation for being a rough-and-tumble place. As the closest city to Wolvengard and all of the Northern Barrier Land, it was far from any pony's mind when thinking about good places to settle down in. Knowing that it was going to be the first city in the path of an invasion, should the Wolven move past Fangbreaker Fortress, the city's founders built it for defense. Its high walls were built from stone transported all the way from the mountainous regions of the Western Barrier Land, and the city was built like a fortress. Several farms lay outside the city, where only the hardiest of crops, ones that could survive in the cold climate, were grown. Mosses and lichens served as staple foods out here, to the point where the city was as famous for them as it was for being a dangerous, inhospitable place. Cities to the south traded for these products, considering some of them to be delicacies in their own right. In return, Bastion City received vegetables, quarry, and lumber. A nearby lake, though frozen for half the year, provided a supply of water. Bastion City was also famous for another product it had an ample supply, Wolven fur. It had a steady stream of them coming in from Fangbreaker Fortress, and the city's tanners were experts in converting them into clothing, having developed a method for softening the normally wiry fur. Cities in the Northern Barrier Lands prized them for their hardy insulation, useful when the often bitter winter blew in. There would be no deliveries coming in from Fangbreaker Fortress anytime soon, however. News of its fall was already widespread throughout the city. As a result, construction sprung up as walls were reinforced and barricades created. The farmers had already moved into the city with all the crops they could harvest, and the price for a suit of barding and a set of tramplers tripled practically overnight.
"These ponies don't look very happy,"
Fluttershy commented as she passed through the massive gates of the city. The survivors of Fangbreaker Fortress arrived by noon and were greeted by a mixture of relief and grim confirmation by Bastion City's residents.
"They're expecting a Wolven attack in less than a week,"
Vanguard answered as he took his place in front of her and her friends.
"You'll have to forgive them for not being in a festive mood."
"I'm just glad that we finally arrived," Rarity said wearily. "I hope they have plenty of food to spare."
"What are we going to do now, Vanguard?"
Twilight asked. Before Vanguard could reply, Scarlet Rabbit came into view.
"I just spoke with one of the sentries,"
Scarlet Rabbit called to them as he flew in to take his place next to Vanguard.
"They've got several buildings nearby ready for us to use as soon as they heard we were coming. The commanders just ordered every pony to get there and rest up, and then take part in getting our defenses ready."
"Good,"
Vanguard replied.
"We'll go there then. First, we need to get you chosen some cloaks. We've got maybe a week or so of fall before the first blizzard sweeps in from the north. You won't be much use to the Legion as frozen corpses."
"Good idea," Rarity said. "It is getting rather chilly."
"But fall was just about to start back home," Applejack protested. "Don't tell me that time moves faster out here."
"It is fall,"
Vanguard said.
"Or it is down south. Here we get a short spring and summer, followed by winter. I take it that Princess Celestia didn't let you pack before banishing you."
"No," Twilight answered. "Well, that answers my old question," Rarity said. "In exile, one packs warm."
"We don't have any bits on us," Twilight reminded Vanguard.
"Scarlet and I will foot the bill,"
Vanguard replied.
"You can pay us back when you start earning your pay."
"Thank you," Twilight said. "I think you saved us again."
"Don't bother keeping track. Lives are endangered and saved far too often here."
Vanguard turned towards Scarlet.
"Scarlet, spot us a good deal while I go get some back pay. Hopefully, some pony remembered to save some of the treasury before the fort fell."
"On it, Captain,"
Scarlet replied. He saluted and flew ahead. About a quarter of an hour passed after both Vanguard and Scarlet went off. When they reconvened, Vanguard had a pouch full of bits, while Scarlet was escorting a peddler, a tan-colored pony with a graying light brown mane and mustache. Behind the peddler was a covered wagon.
"Six of your warmest cloaks,"
Vanguard said.
"Make that seven,"
Spike spoke up. He had been riding on Applejack's back during the final few miles of the trip, having gotten bored of being alone on the wagons.
"Seven, then,"
Vanguard replied.
"Six for ponies, and a small one for the baby dragon."
"I'll give you a good price, since your Legion types are the ones getting the material anyway,"
the peddler rasped. The mention of baby dragon didn't seem to bother him. He removed the wagon's covering, showing a pile of gray cloaks and boots of varying shades. Twilight and the others moved in to see the merchandise.
"They look a little plain," Rarity commented, "but the feel of it is wonderful. Why, you'd think it was actual fur from the texture."
The peddler looked at Rarity quizzically.
"That's 'cause it is actual fur, miss," he said.
Rarity looked at the peddler in both horror and surprise.
"Actual fur?" she asked. "As in, this once belonged to an animal, and you peeled it off its body?"
From behind them, they could hear Fluttershy gag. The others gasped at the revelation.
"Well, it's not really peeling," the peddler answered. "You need a good and sharp knife and some of that smelly tannin. Don't know much of the process myself, but you won't find a better treated woven fur than the ones here in Bastion City."
"Woven?"
Rainbow Dash asked.
"As in those monsters coming after us?"
"Yep,"
the peddler answered. He turned towards Vanguard.
"Strange bunch of folks you're buying fur. I'm not even talking about that filly's crazy mane."
"They're new here,"
Vanguard replied patiently while counting out his money.
"So, how much are you selling them for?"
"We can't wear these," Twilight protested.
"They're cheap, durable, and the best insulation you're going to get,"
Vanguard replied flatly.
"You'll wear them, or your first burial land's winter will be your last."
"It's bad enough that we have to kill them, but now we skin them and wear their fur for clothes?"
Twilight insisted. Vanguard's face was completely expressionless as he answered.
"When the wolven kill a pony, they take the mane and tail for trophies, eat every inch of the flesh, and then use the bones for tools and ornaments. Not a single body part goes to waste. Each time a pony is killed, the wolven are sustained. We can't match that efficiency, but we do what we can."
Twilight's eyes narrowed.
"If we do as the wolven do, then we're no better than them," she said.
"This isn't about showing off how much better we are than them,"
Vanguard replied.
"It's about surviving. Whether it's against a horde of wolven or a merciless barrage of snow and wind, we do what we must."
Twilight looked away. She remembered Princess Celestia's words right before she was banished.
"The stuff of my nightmares is seeing my subjects become more and more like them."
"It's still wrong," she said. "Can't we use some other material?"
"Look around you. Does this look like a place where you can grow cotton or raise silkworms?"
Vanguard sighed before continuing.
"Why don't we talk about this some other time?"
he suggested.
"Spend some time in Bastion City. After you go through a winter storm fresh from the frigid valleys of Wolvengard, we can discuss how wrong it is to skin the wolven."
Are you buying the goods or not?" the peddler asked.
"We'll take 7 cloaks and 6 sets of those boots,"
Vanguard said.
"Thanks. I hope they help you kill more of those wolven."
The peddler went on his way, and Vanguard distributed the newly bought clothing. To him, they looked as if they were holding freshly severed heads of the wolven instead of clothing. Irritation suddenly crept up on him, and he walked over to Twilight, who looked away as he approached. He grasped her by the shoulders and looked her in the eye.
"You said that you would stand with the Legion,"
he told her.
"And that you will stand by your words. Was that all a lie?"
Vanguard's words seemed to ignite something inside Twilight. She looked right back at him, her eyebrows furrowing in indignation.
"I meant every word," she said.
"I don't believe you,"
Vanguard growled.
"All of you wince this much over the fur of a wolven you didn't even kill."
He swept his gaze over all of them.
"What could possibly be left of any of you when you have to walk over the corpses, the ones you will kill? If this is your limit, then go back to the Heartland and beg for your princess's forgiveness. She'll take you back and you can forget we exist."
With that, he returned his focus on Twilight.
"How do we stand stronger together when you can't even stand strong on your own?"
Twilight pushed away Vanguard's hoofs, so he had to take a step back. She took the cloak and put it around her while glaring at him. The rest of her friends followed, their eyes downcast. Vanguard doubted that he shamed them into doing it, but the reality of having to kill wolven themselves must weigh in their minds now. Fluttershy looked like she was draping a sheet of fire over herself.
"Let's go,"
he told them.
"Scarlet, lead the way to our new barracks."
Hours passed after Twilight and the others bought their cloaks and boots. They were now staying inside one of the buildings the city had provided for the Legion. For now, they were asked to stay at a single large room with several beds where they waited restlessly for any news of what they should be doing. They intended to join the Legion, but due to complications, they had ended up in some sort of vague state of being part of it and, at the same time, not. Vanguard Clash had gone out to check on that matter, while Scarlet Rabbit stayed behind. They had been treated to a meal of fresh moss with lichen tea. Though they were a little suspicious of the food's appearance, they quickly agreed that not only was it far superior to Sharp Fang's sandy feed, it was actually quite delicious. The only complaint came from Spike, who had enjoyed the meal, but still wish he had a few gems to go along with it. After the meal they had taken to lounging about, impatience quickly filled the room so thickly that it felt like a dark cloud.
"Well, I have to admit this much," Rarity decided to say. She was still holding the woven fur cloak that had been given to her. "Its source is horribly morbid, but, objectively speaking, the material is quite good."
"How can you say that?"
Fluttershy argued.
"It's fur. It belonged to another creature."
"I know, dear," Rarity said, "but I'm inclined to agree with Captain Clash. In the absence of other materials, we have to make do."
"Make do,"
Fluttershy said in disgust as she tossed her cloak aside.
"I would rather..."
"Die?" Applejack finished the sentence. Every pony in the room looked at her. She sighed and set her cloak aside.
"Look, I don't like these things. I think they're disgusting, not good material."
She glared at Rarity as she said that.
"But I ain't freezing to death because I'm scared of some dead critter's fur, especially if that dead critter is a dead woven. At the end of the day, useful beats disgusting."
Eager to move on to a different subject, Rainbow Dash turned towards Scarlet Rabbit, who had not been paying attention to any of them. He sat by one corner, whistling to himself.
"Hey, Scarlet," she said. "Just how long are we going to sit here and do nothing?"
"Relax,"
Scarlet replied dismissively. "The captain will take care of it."
"What exactly is it?"
Rarity asked.
"I don't know, but the captain will deal with it anyway. Don't worry your silly flank pictures off."
"They're called cutie marks," Rarity said. "Not silly flank."
Before Rarity could finish, the door to the room suddenly swung open, and Vanguard stepped inside. Rainbow Dash immediately flew over to him.
"So?"
she asked impatiently.
"Do we get to do something now?"
"Soon,"
Vanguard replied. He faced the group as he continued.
"We've just received word that Princess Luna is coming to Bastion City, with Prince Tirado following soon. Commander Dreadstep will present all of you to them once they arrive, so we can decide just how to deal with you."
"More waiting," Rainbow said in exasperation.
She collapsed on one of the beds and put a pillow over her face.
"Wait," Twilight said. "Princess Luna is out here? What is she doing in the Barrier Lands?"
"No pony knows,"
Vanguard answered.
"But Prince Tirado let her stay in his realm, so we must have some purpose for her. For now, I'd like you to come with me, Twilight."
The request took Twilight by surprise. After a few seconds, she nodded and followed Vanguard as they left the building.
"Why does Twilight get to do everything?"
Rainbow Dash complained as soon as they left. It was already late afternoon, but the city remained bustling with activity. As she walked next to Vanguard, Twilight took the time to look at the city's sights. Bastion City favored stone buildings reinforced with heavy lumber, both likely transported from someplace else. The buildings tended to be low and flat, with gabled roofs to keep snow from piling. A few still had flat roofs, however. The streets were paved for smoother traffic, but they showed cracks in several places. All around her, carts of supplies moved back and forth with the ponies pulling them, carrying urgent expressions on their faces.
"So where are we going?" Twilight asked.
"I take it that Princess Celestia didn't teach you any spell specifically for killing Wolven,"
Vanguard asked in return.
"Of course not."
"Then all you have is your telekinesis to fight them. It's a strong spell, but the focus you have to maintain to keep it up leaves you open to attack. You need an offensive spell that you can cast quickly and on the move. We're going to get some of those."
"Are you taking me to the library then?"
"Not quite. Bastion City's library is mostly records. The spell books, especially the ones with combat spells, were placed in Fangbreaker's vaults for training unicorn magi. Unfortunately, we saved only a few of those, and they're currently in safekeeping and reserved for legionnaires. I think I might be able to get you something, though. Here we are."
They stopped in front of a small house at a side street. The light by the window indicated some pony was inside. Vanguard knocked on the door and waited. After a minute, the door opened a crack, and some pony's eye peeped through.
"Who is it?"
a crackling, suspicious voice asked.
"It's me, Vanguard Clash,"
Vanguard answered. The door immediately swung open, and they were greeted by an elderly unicorn couple.
"Vanguard!"
the blue stallion exclaimed in his raspy voice. Before he could say anything else, however, the white mare interrupted.
"Where's my Pyre?"
she asked.
"Why isn't Pyre with you? Has something happened?"
Twilight's eyes widened in realization. She immediately recognized the resemblance. The white coat, the black mane, even the brown eyes. These were Pyre Valor's parents. Vanguard's expression softened, and when he spoke, his voice was heavy.
"Pyre Valor fought valiantly when the fortress was attacked,"
he said grimly.
I'm sorry for your loss.
No, no, no.
The elderly mare's knees gave way, and the stallion quickly supported her.
Not my pyre,
she wailed. The elderly stallion's face crumpled with grief, but he held it together when he talked to Vanguard.
Thank you for telling us. You're a good colt, Vanguard. Always were.
He looked at his wife and stroked her mane with a hoof.
We knew that this might happen, dear, he said. We knew.
Do you still have some of her possessions?
Vanguard asked.
The attack happened so quickly.
I understand, Pyre Valor's father said. We kept her room exactly as it was when she left for the fort. Go on and take something to remember her by.
We'll be respectful,
Vanguard said reassuringly as he entered the house and gestured for Twilight to follow. She slipped past the grieving couple and followed him in. The house was a small, cramped place, with only candles and a small fireplace for lighting. Pyre Valor's room was separated from the main room through a hanging piece of fur. Inside was a simple bed with some shelves on the wall and a dresser. Vanguard sorted through the assortment of books on the shelves and then pulled one out to give to Twilight.
Pyre wrote down her earliest spells there,
he said.
You should find them useful.
Twilight flipped through the pages. As she scanned them, one word quickly stood out. Fireball. It said much of a unicorn when the first few spells she learned involved making a powerful explosion to kill her enemies.
Let's go,
Vanguard said. The two of them left the house while the elderly couple watched from the door.
Miss,
Pyre's father called after Twilight. She turned around to see what he wanted.
You're the new unicorn mage for Vanguard's squad, aren't you?
Well, actually,
Twilight stammered.
Honor your predecessor,
Pyre's mother suddenly snarled. Tears were still streaming down her face while she spoke.
For Pyre Valor's sake, burn 100 of those flea-bitten murdering Mongols.
I will,
Twilight said. It was only after the words left her lips and they had already rounded a corner did she realize the implications of what she said. She turned towards Vanguard.
Why didn't you tell them the truth?
She asked.
Tell them what?
Vanguard asked.
That their daughter is a traitor who is willing to get hundreds of ponies, including them, killed? Why do that?
Twilight had no answer.
Why did you bring me along?
She asked.
You could have gone on your own and brought the book back.
I wanted you to see.
See what?
The things we bear out here. The reason why we do what we must. To try to keep that from happening to every pony in Equestria, even if it's a futile effort. I will kill the wolven by the hundreds and wear their skins.
Twilight lowered her gaze and stared at the pavement while they made their way back.
What about you?
Vanguard asked.
Did you mean what you told them?
That I'd burn 100 wolven for Pyre Valor?
Twilight asked in return.
I'm not even replacing her in your squad, and I doubt that I could, even if I tried.
But you will try, or are you just as much a liar as I am?
I don't know.
They were silent the rest of the way. By the time Vanguard spoke up, they were about to enter the building where their friends were.
Take care of that book. I may have lied to them about Pyre Valor's intentions, but I didn't lie about wanting something to remember.
Why this book, then? I mean, I know it's to give me some spells to use, but is it significant for you as well?
I gave Pyre that blank book when I was just a colt,
Vanguard answered.
It's a remnant of a time when all she cared about was collecting fire spells.
He seemed to stare off distantly as he spoke.
Good times.
Are you still going to kill her if you meet her again? Twilight asked.
If she's somehow still alive, yes. She's a dangerous traitor who needs to be put down. It'll tear me up inside, but I will kill her.
Pardon me for saying so, but I'm a little glad that it will at least tear you up inside.
Without answering to that, he opened the door, and the two of them went inside.